The makers of the coffee you know is fresh, Chase and Sanborn Coffee, whose big September sale now being held will benefit everyone, presents the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Don Ameche.
This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche welcoming you for all of us. For Nelson Eddy, whose magnificent voice has made him one of the most important figures in the musical world today. For the ace of comedians, our own W.C. Fields.
Yeah, he's an ace and I'm a joker. We're a couple of deuces wild. Continue dealing, Mr. Ameche.
Well, since you've handed me the deck, Charlie, I'll deal a pair of queens. Our guest, Miss Ida Lupino, who walks away with new honors in her latest picture, Artists and Models, and our own lovely Dorothy L'Amour.
Ah, my queen of hearts. What a hand to hold.
And to make it a full house, there's Robert Arm Brewster and, of course, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. We hope you'll enjoy your visit with us, and we hope, too, that throughout this week you will enjoy Chase and Sanborn Coffee. Oh. Few singers have ever been as widely acclaimed as Nelson Eddy, or have so completely won the hearts of American audiences. From one of his greatest pictures, Naughty Marietta, Nelson greets us with a song we all like to remember. Nelson Eddy singing, I'm Falling in Love with Someone.
I have a very strange feeling I never felt before. 'Tis a kind of a grind of depression. My heart's acting strangely, it feels rather sore. At least it gives me that impression. My pulses leap madly without any cause. Believe me, I'm telling you truly. I'm gay without cause, then sad without cause. My spirits are truly unruly.
Nelson Eddy steps for a romantic serenade to one of the hardest tongue twisters in all music. From Iolanthe, he brings us Gilbert and Sullivan's unique musical picture of a bad dream. Nelson Eddy singing the Lord Chancellor's Nightmare.
Love, unrequited, robs me of my rest. Love, hopeless love, my ardent soul encumbers. Love, nightmare-like, lies heavy on my chest. and weaves itself into my midnight slumbers. When you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed by anxiety, I conceive you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. For your brain is on fire, the bedclothes conspire of usual slumber to plunder you. First your counterpane goes and uncovers your toes, and your sheet slips demurely from under you. Then the blanketing tickles you, feel like mixed pickles, so terribly sharp as the pricking. And you're hot and you're cross and you tumble and toss till there's nothing but stew in the ticking. Then the bedclothes all creep to the ground in a heap, and you pick them all up in a tangle. Next your pillow resigns and politely declines to remain at its usual angle. Well, you get some repose in the form of a doze with hot eyeballs and head ever aching. But your slumbering teems with such horrible dreams that you'd very much better be waking. For you dream you are crossing the channel and tossing about in a steamer from Harwich, which is something between a large bathing machine and a very small second-class carriage. And you're giving a treat, penny ice and cold meat, to a party of friends and relations. They're a ravenous horde, and they all came aboard at Sloane Square in South Kensington stations. And bound on that journey, you find your attorney who started that morning from Devon. He's a bit undersized, and you don't feel surprised when he tells you he's only 11. Well, you're driving like mad with a singular lad. By, the ship's now a four-wheeler. And you're playing round games, and he calls you bad names, and you tell him that ties pay the dealer. But this you can't stand, so you throw up your hand, and you feel it as cold as an icicle in your shirt and your socks. The black silk with gold clocks crossing Salisbury Plain on a bicycle. And he and the crew are on bicycles too, which they've somehow or other invested in. And he's telling the tars all the particulars of a company he's interested in. It's a scheme of devices to get at low prices, all goods from cough mixtures to cables, which tickle the sailors, by treating retailers as though they were all vegetables. You get a good spadesman to plant a small tradesman, first take off his boots with a boot tree, and his legs will take root and his fingers will shoot and they'll blossom and bud like a fruit tree. From the greengrocer tree you get grapes and green peas, cauliflowers, pineapples and cranberries, while the pastry cook plant cherry brandy will grant apple puffs and three corners and banberries. Well, the shares are a penny and ever so many are taken by Rothschild and Baring. And just as a few were allotted to you, you awake with a sort of despairing. You're a regular wreck with a crick in your neck and a wonder you snore, for your head's on the floor and you've needles and pins from your soles to your shins, and your flesh is a creep, for your left leg's asleep, and you're cramping your toes and a fly on your nose and some fluff in your lung and a feverish tongue and a thirst that's intense in a general sense that you haven't been sleeping in clover. But the darkness has passed and it's daylight at last, and the night has been long. Ditto, ditto, my song. And thank goodness they're both of them.
Mighty nice musical nightmare, Nelson.
Thanks, Don.
But unfortunately, all nightmares aren't quite so agreeable. Take a look at Edgar Bergen, will you? Looks as if he'd been through a real nightmare.
Probably that little nightmare Charlie McCarthy is after him again.
Oh, is that so? I heard that last crack there. Well, you can't pin that on me. I haven't seen Bergen all week.
No. Now, Charlie, you know I've been very busy.
Is that so?
Yes. And there are so many little things, you know, that take up so much time.
Isn't it true? Yes. Yes, so many little things take up so much time. That's pretty good, yeah. Yes, well, you know, I saw you with one of those little things down at the Coconut Grove. And she wasn't so little either.
Well,
am I right or am I right?
Well, if you must know, I have met a charming young lady.
Oh.
Yes, and I have, well, shall I say, been entertaining her with, well, shall I say, some degree of success.
Well, did you, or are you just, shall you say?
I did.
Well, be definite, be definite. Have you seen her often?
Well, only about four times the past week.
Only four times?
Mm-hmm.
Are you courting her, or are you haunting her?
No.
Now, Bergen, come clean now. Tell me everything.
Everything?
Yes. It still may not be too late.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll tell you, Charlie. This girl is different.
Oh, they all are, lad.
I see.
Different. Tell me more.
Fool, all right. Well, this girl of mine, well, she doesn't care much for the glamour and the nightlife. She prefers the simple things. Bergen, you're sitting pretty, I see.
Tell me, did you kiss her?
Well,
liar.
All right.
Oh, come now. Remember, we're pals.
Yes.
I won't talk.
No. Well, I...
The suspense is awful.
Yes.
Did you?
Well, I...
Come.
Yeah, well, what business is it of yours?
Oh, so you couldn't kiss her, huh?
Well, after all, why should I?
Why should you? That's too much for me. That's too much. After all, it's being done, you know.
Yes, I suppose so. Charlie, you don't seem to be able to appreciate the cultural influence woman has on man.
Uh-huh.
Woman is like a delicate flower.
Delicate flower. Bergen, you don't get around much, do you? He's so naive, isn't he? Delicate flower. That's all well and good, but that can be carried too far, you know.
I see. Well, now, I'm not going to tell you any more about her.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Well, why? I always tell you about my girls. Of course, I have something to tell.
Well, this girl of mine, she will undoubtedly go into pictures.
Yes?
Yes, she says she can act.
She says she can act,
yes.
Well, then, you can be sure she can if she says so.
Yes. I've offered to help her get in pictures.
That's nice.
Yes. But you know, it's so discouraging.
Isn't it?
Yes. So I gave her a pair of silver foxes, just to cheer her up.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yes. I imagine she likes me a great deal, or she wouldn't have accepted them.
Yeah. pardon me. Go on, won't you?
Charlie, frankly, do you think I'm foolish?
Bergen, I have nothing to say, and this is the time to say it.
Well, she phoned me this morning to tell me that she received my Billy Doo.
Your what-a-boo?
My Billy Doo.
No.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that sweet. What's a Billy Doo?
Well, it's a letter.
Oh, a letter.
Yes.
Now she calls it a Billy Doo.
Hmm.
Later on, it'll be called Exhibit A.
I see.
How old are you, Bergen?
Well, I'm in my early 30s.
That's too bad. You're too old.
Too old for what?
For me to tell you what every young man should know. Then why don't you get married, Mr. Bergen?
Well, why?
Well, you might as well. You have that worried look already. In fact, you're the most married-looking single man I've ever seen. Yes, sir, I've decided you should get married, Bergen.
I should?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're right.
I know I'm right. It's a shame to waste a face like that.
Oh, that's...
Well, Charlie seems to be rather cynical about Edgar Bergen's love affair, but perhaps with music we can appeal to his sentimental side. So we turn on the moon, sift a little silver light through the shadows of some fragrant old garden, and listen to Dorothy L'Amour as she sings Whispers in the Dark.
Night and the stars and the moonbeams, music and dancing and wine. And then in the dark, the whispers that make a moment of love divine. Whispers in the dark, two shadows in the night, so gentle and so tender that every little word is like a song of sweet delight. Whispers in the dark, oh, heavenly they seem. When arms and lips surrender, and every little kiss is like a dream within a dream. But soon, the breezes whisper to the trees that dawn is near. So soon, their little paradise of love will disappear. Whispers in the dark, while stars are in the blue. Upon a night like this, perhaps I'll hear a little whisper in the dark from you. Dawn is near. So soon, their little paradise of love will disappear. Whispers in the dark, while stars are in the blue. Upon a night like this, perhaps I'll hear a little whisper in the dark.
Whispers are usually for the ears of one listener, so we'll have to raise our voices in this good news we want everybody to hear. During September, there's a big special Chase and Sanborn sale that will benefit everyone all over the United States and Canada. Here are the facts.
Right now, and all the rest of this month, there's a big September sale on Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Don't miss this opportunity to get dated coffee. This superb coffee you know is fresh at special sale prices. Every bag of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is guaranteed fresh by a unique dating and delivery system. Every bag is rushed fresh to your grocer with a delivery date plainly marked on it for you to see. It can't be sold stale. It can't have that bitter, rancid taste of stale coffee. It can't upset your stomach and your nerves. It can't make you headachy, cross, and depressed as stale coffee may. And here's another point. With freshness guaranteed by our dating and delivery system, we can pack this superb coffee in an economical dated paper bag and pass the saving on to you. This makes Chase and Sanborn dated coffee a wonderful value at any time. And right now, during September, you get an added saving on every pound you buy. If you are a regular dated coffee user, take advantage of these special sale prices. If you have not yet tried Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, be sure to get acquainted with it while the sale is on. Find out this week how rich and fresh coffee can be. Ask your grocer for a pound of fresh Chase and Sanborn dated coffee the next time you buy coffee.
Not many years ago, Ida Lupino was just an ambitious young extra praying for a break and never getting it. But one day, her fairy godmother got to work. Alan Dwan, the famous director, saw her in a casting office and immediately signed her for his next picture. Today, she is scoring another hit in Paramount's new picture, Artists and Models. For us, Ida Lupino plays the title role in an original sketch by True Boardman. Salute the Baroness.
Salute the Baroness, with Ida Lupino as the Baroness Anna Gregg and Don Ameche as Colonel Van Storm. It is Berlin in the late summer of 1916. Here in a palace in the Wilhelmstrasse, far from the horror of the battlefields, a great ball is in progress. Here, amid laughter and music, it is almost as though the war were a distant memory. Almost, for in a small room just off the balcony of the ballroom...
Oh, so. Well, what luck, Baroness?
As you wished. He has asked me for the next dance.
Good. You managed an introduction?
I thought he might be suspicious, so we conveniently just happened to meet on the balcony.
Excellent. You understand your orders?
Oh, perfectly. Everything is arranged?
Everything. You will be sure to specify the small gate behind the conservatory.
We must avoid any commotion.
Of course, Commander.
Remember, your warning must be believable. It must grow out of an apparent, a personal concern for Colonel Von Storm.
A personal concern for a man I've known less than an hour? Yes, it is not impossible when the man concerned is the charming Colonel Von Storm. In fact, if this were not wartime... But no matter it is, and there's nothing so futile as might have been. But the dance must be ended. He'll be looking for me.
I need not tell you, Baroness, that you're doing a great service for the Vaterland.
That is my one desire, Commander. And now you will excuse me, gentlemen. Colonel Von Storm is waiting for his dance.
Good fortune, Baroness. Oh, you dance divinely, Fräulein. Tell me, is that laughter always in your eyes when you are dancing with a man?
Are you sure it's laughter, Herr Colonel von Storm? But regardless, the answer is no.
Who are you? Since you know me, it is only fair...
Of course. I'm Anna Gregg.
Anna Gregg? Well, where have you been all these years? Berlin has needed you.
Oh, needed me, Colonel.
Look around and you will see why. Find me a pretty face. Aside from the married ones.
You will forgive me, Colonel, but I forgot to mention that I am the Baroness Anna Gregg.
Oh, a Baroness. And that means a Baron.
Oh, quite a Baron.
I could kill him.
That won't be necessary, Colonel. That was accomplished over a year ago.
Oh, I am sorry.
Are you really? Personally, I'm quite glad.
Why, Baroness?
Oh, Heinrich was such a bore, and he danced so badly. Not at all as well as you, for instance, Colonel von Storm.
You know that you are a fascinating woman, Baroness?
Oh, even if I had the faintest suspicion of it, Colonel, I should never admit it to you. Only that woman is a mystery to a man who is still a mystery to herself.
An epigram, and a splendid one.
Naturally, since it's a lie.
It won't do, Anna Gregg.
Won't do?
Fencing with words. Empty speeches on our lips to conceal what we feel in our hearts. It's always been since the moment we met. I must see you again. Away from here. Tonight.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow, then. The day after. But it must be, Anna Gregg.
Oh, it's impossible. Believe me.
Another man?
Oh, of course not. It's... Oh, I can't tell you.
Is it then because we have only met tonight? And you are afraid of impulse? You can't be, Anna. These things happen to us, and they are stronger than we are.
Oh, you think I don't know? Now, listen to me. We cannot meet again because... Wait. Dance us into the alcove there.
Very well. Now?
No, no, no. Keep dancing, but apart from the others. We shan't meet again because you must not be here. You must leave Berlin.
Leave Berlin?
Essen, Bolstein, all of them know. Last week, important information concerning our troops reached the hands of the enemy. It has been discovered how...
Interesting. But how...
How do I know? That's unimportant. They plan to take you at midnight, but it's...
Anna.
Go out through the garden. Behind the conservatory is a small gate. There will be no guards there. Now go, please.
But you... If they learn, you have fooled me.
Oh, they will not learn. And if they do... C'est la guerre, as our enemies would say.
Anna, remember this. If this war ever ends, I'm going to find you.
If it ever ends... Auf Wiedersehen, Herr Colonel. Go now quickly before the music starts again.
Auf Wiedersehen, Anna Gregg.
Come in. Well?
It is done.
Good. Good, Baroness. It should be amusing to observe the Colonel's face when he realizes just how you have befriended him.
I shall remain.
The guard should have him here in a moment.
You found your task difficult, Baroness?
No, to the contrary. Almost pleasant, in fact.
Yes?
The prisoner, Commander Essen. In there with you.
Good evening, gentlemen. And Baroness Craig. How pleasant that we should meet again.
Isn't it?
Well, Commander.
What have you to say?
What is there to say? Thanks to the Baroness, you know all that you wish to know. I would be a fool to attempt denials.
You anticipate death calmly, my friend.
Naturally. Do not all of us who choose this way to serve our respective countries?
Mm-hmm. In the morning, then, a firing squad.
Oh, but certainly. Oh, Baroness, forgive me. In the hurry of my departure out there, I forgot to thank you for the dance.
The pleasure was mine, Colonel von Storm.
Yes, I suppose so. Baroness, would it mean anything to you if I told you now that I meant what I said out there? That we must meet again?
It would mean nothing.
You will still let me be shot in the morning?
It shall be a pleasure to watch the process, Colonel.
Hmm. Well, Commander, I think she will do.
You're right, von Storm. She will.
Well, Sign, you agree? Perfectly.
Yes, but I don't understand.
A necessary deception, Baroness. When you offered your services to our cause, Essen at once realized that we could use you on an important mission.
And I suggested as much to my chief.
Your chief?
Perhaps you would care to meet him. The Colonel von Storm.
Oh, then you...
I must beg forgiveness. But we had to be sure. If you had failed to carry out our order, we might have suspected you of, shall we say, feminine weakness. But I believe you would have led that firing squad yourself, Baroness.
Yeah, you can be sure I would have.
And you are decided? She is the one?
She is the one.
Well, I'm glad. And when does my service begin?
Tonight. A car will be here at 11, which will take you to a waiting plane. The plane will carry you to Holland. From there, arrangements are already made to get you into France. Yes, sir.
Jawohl.
You will see to the car.
Jawohl, Your Colonel.
Paulstein.
Yeah.
Check again all arrangements for the plane.
Jawohl.
I shall give the final instructions to the Baroness.
Very good, Colonel. Baroness, permit me to salute you.
For the fatherland, Baroness.
For the fatherland. Auf Wiedersehen, gentlemen. Your instructions, Colonel von Storm?
Once you have reached Paris, you will take every means to ingratiate yourself with the General Dumaire and the French High Command.
Are they gone?
Wait. No one outside.
The windows.
With these curtains drawn, blind. Oh, Annette.
Oh, Pierre, my Pierre.
Oh, darling, darling.
Oh, it's been so long, Pierre, 1,000 years.
And it may be thousands more.
Oh, no, it can't be. Let this be the last. And out of it, both of us, to Holland or America, perhaps. We shall have done enough. No one has to serve France more, Pierre.
We shall never have done enough until it's over. Time then to think of us.
If there is any us by then. Oh, my darling, if either of us should slip.
Oh, no, no, no. We can't slip, Annette. We won't. But there's little time. I give this word to General Dumaire. A new offensive on the Somme within 4 days. With 6 brigades. Weakest spot on the German line would be the village of Chateau Thierry. Full strength of the counteroffensive should fall there. Do you have that?
Offensive. Somme. 4 days. 6 brigades. Weak spot. Chateau Thierry. Strike there on counterattack.
Good. And Annette, tell Dumaire he's to give you information. Valid information on unimportant things to get back to me. So that I can convince Essen and the others that you are a successful German agent in Paris. I don't want the risk of a change.
Then I shan't come back here.
No, Annette.
Oh, but if you need me.
I shall not need you. Oh, that's a lie. Of course, my life is only half a life apart from you, Annette. What must be...
Oh, no, Pierre, listen to me. It's more dangerous for you every day. Come back to Paris, too, while your moves are still unquestioned.
No, Annette.
But it may mean your life, my darling.
And if it does, do you realize, Annette, that a single piece of information that we get through to Dumaire may mean 40,000 lives saved for France?
Yes, I know, Pierre, and you're right. It's only that every time we meet like this, I'm so desperately afraid in my heart that it'll be the last. Kiss me.
Oh, Annette, Annette. And believe me, a day in Holland or America, we'll see it yet. Oh, darling. You understand. You will learn all you can of French activities. Placements of batteries. New brigades moved up into line.
The car is ready.
Good.
The Baroness understands all she's to do?
Perfectly, Commander Essen. Then this is auf Wiedersehen again, Colonel von Storm.
Again, Baroness. And may we dance together soon. And once again, may you whisper secret warnings into my ear.
Yes, Colonel.
Good night, Baroness. I'm sure you will serve our country well.
If my service is as great as yours, I can ask no more. Good night, Colonel von Storm. It was pleasant to have met you.
Thank you, Ida Lupino. You certainly make a charming Baroness. And if your ardent young admirer, Charles McCarthy, will only be patient a bit longer, we'll see that he gets his chance to co-star with you in the very special, super-dramatic opus he has written for you. But first, let me say that the Chase and Sanborn Hour, W.C. Fields, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and Dorothy L'Amour will continue in just a moment.
spies to the right of us and spies to the left of us. It's getting to be a habit around here.
Say, I hear you've written a play about spies, Charlie.
Yes, I have, Don.
Well, what do you call this play about spies?
I call it, Spies. It's one of those tricky titles. Good, eh? The scene is the ballroom of the Grand Hotel off the coast of Labrador. Duke Ole Olsen, a Swedish spy, played by Mr. Charles McCarthy, that's me, is dancing with the Countess Lena Ginster, a Hungarian spy. This spy is played by Miss Ida Lupino. The time is indefinite.
Yeah, well, look, Charlie, what do I do?
Oh, you're a spy. You lurk around.
Yeah, but what do I do?
Well, that's what you do. You stop and lurk and listen.
Ah, you dance divinely, Duke.
Oh, well, you ain't so bad yourself, Countess.
The music is divine, is it not?
Yeah, there is that. It's the cats, especially the violin.
Oh, that song, always it makes me think of my homeland.
Yeah, me too, Countess. And never get tired of hearing the Blue Danube. Did you hear that?
What is it?
I think I heard a spy spying.
Tell me, who are those three gentlemen waiting in the punch bowl?
Well, if they're waiting in the punch bowl, they ain't no gentlemen. Oh, those three. Well, they are three German spies. That's Herr Falling and Herr Tonic and Herr Today and Gone Tomorrow. Behind them is their superior. That's a Baron Nelson von Hede.
Tell me, what news from Sweden, Duke?
There's bad news. That's very bad, Countess. There is labor trouble in the match factory. Oh, the matches have gone on strike.
Oh, what is Sweden without matches?
Norway. Yeah. My poor Sweden. Matches, all these matches. Ugh, how we suffer.
Oh, but there is no time to waste. We must get the papers.
For Sweden.
For Hungary.
Quick, let us hide in the butler's pantry while no one is looking.
Ari, dear.
Aria. Alone at last, eh? They'll never suspect we're English.
Ah, we're safe here, my lad. Safe as a bug in a rug.
Oh, it's a bit all right here, eh?
Oh, yes. Oh, for a sight of Piccadilly Circus and a cut of roast beef.
Aye, and a peep at Leicester Square and a plate of fish and chips.
Oh, lovely. Let's go back, Harry. Let's chuck this old booming spy business.
Oh, we can't leave now, Harriet. I must get the pipers. It's for England, old gal.
Yes, for England.
Yes. Come in. Ah, welcome and greeting, Baron von Hede. You're right on time. We never expected you.
Also, are you the Duke von Ole Olsen?
Yeah, sure I am.
On the Fräulein is Countess Lena Ginster?
I am.
Well, I know who I am, so that's that. Countess, you will go to Bombay. Proceed with plan 31KX until you contact spy F7. We will give you the further instructions concerning the campaign along line 55F or B.
That's reduced from 98.50, but still two pair of pants.
Nun, it's dot clear?
Dot is clear.
Ausgezeichnet. Keep in touch with me. Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, Chichanya. Skull.
Ah, sure, he's gone, Pat.
Faith, and so he has, Bridget.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Sure, and now we're Irish spies, my darling.
And faith, and so we are.
Yes, yes. Sure, and we have to get the papers, Pat.
Faith, and so we do, Bridget.
Sure, Mr. Ireland.
Faith, and so it is.
Oh, sure.
Faith. Entrez-vous, monsieur.
Who is this?
I am Don Carlos Amici. Carlos.
Yeah, well, I heard you the first time. Who are you?
I am a spy.
Well, welcome. You have come to the right place, because we are holding a convention.
Then we waste no time. I bring the bombs. You, Count, will place your bomb on the banks of the Mississippi Wabash.
Yeah, senor.
And you, senorita, you will explode your bomb on the banks of the Mississippi Hudson.
We'll never get to the Mississippi.
Yeah. But why pick on the banks, senor?
I hate money. Proceed with your tasks. Adios.
Tally-ho.
Scaram. And now is our chance to get the papers.
What papers?
The evening papers, to see if the Giants are still on top.
Well, after that session with Charlie, intrigue and mixed dialects, I'm not quite sure who I am. But assuming that I'm still me, I'd like to sing a new song which should put us straight again. Me, myself, and I. I just left the convention, a most important convention. We had quite a lengthy chat, and I'm here to tell you that me, myself, and I are all in love with you. We all think you're wonderful, we do. Me, myself, and I have just one point of view. We're convinced there's no one else like you. It can't be denied, dear, you brought the sun to us. We'd be satisfied, dear, if you belonged to one of us. So if you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Cause me, myself, and I are all in love with you. Myself and I are all in love with you. We all think you're wonderful, we do. Me, myself, and I have just one point of view. We're convinced there's no one else like you. It can't be denied, dear, you brought the sun to us. We'd be satisfied, dear, if you belonged to one of us. So if you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Cause me, myself, and I are all in love with you.
Somewhere the sun is shining. Somewhere a nose is blooming. Somewhere a feud is brewing. Paging W.C. Fields. Well, Bill, how's every little thing?
I never pay attention to any little things, Don, excepting Charles.
Why, don't you like Charlie, Bill?
Oh, he talks too much when Bergen's around. When he's alone, he doesn't open his mouth. Hello, Toothache.
Hello, Mr. Fields.
Swamp Root, I thought I plowed you under last week.
What's the matter? Don't you love me, Mr. Fields?
Yes, I do, Charles. I was going to buy you a little present today, a coat.
Oh, what kind of a coat, Mr. Fields?
Coat of paint.
Oh.
I've always thought a shellacking would do you good.
Yeah, well, why didn't you get it for me?
I tossed a coin that said heads, a coat of shellac for Charles, tails, a bottle of tonsil varnish for myself.
So what happened, Mr.
I tossed the coin and went down the sewer.
Just
status quo.
Bill, what have you been doing over the weekend?
I bought a hotel, Don.
Well, I didn't know you knew anything about hotels, Bill.
Oh, yes. I just own a hotel in Bolivia, South America.
Well, how do you like the Bolivians, Bill?
I love the Bolivians. I had a brother who was killed in Bolivia. Any Bolivians around here? Yes, brother Felix Wendell Schaefer Fields. Shot at the microphone for eulogizing Bolivia. We shot through the heart from the top gallery of the theater.
Shot for praising the country, Bill?
Yes, he said the country was too good for the people that lived there. I love Bolivia.
Well, what did they do with the man who shot your brother, Bill? Did they hang him?
No, the verdict was that the man who shot him was one of the best shots in Bolivia.
Boy, I don't think I'd care so much for the Bolivians if they do things like that, Bill.
Don't stand so close to me when you talk that way, Don. I love Bolivians. What was that? I never met a Bolivian that I wasn't passionately fond of.
Oh, that was only a door slamming, Bill.
I was in love with a girl in Bolivia once, Don.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
I don't Bolivia.
Charles, you're nothing but a tease.
Did you ever marry the girl, Bill?
No, she's snoring asleep, Don. In fact, that was her name, Sonora.
Do you love Bolivians better than me, Mr. Fields?
Yes, Charles, I love Bolivians next to you. Uh-huh. I wish there were a couple next to you right now.
Well, would you like to go to Bolivia again, Mr. Fields?
How would you like to get down to the sawmill and play hopscotch among the buzzsaws?
Bill, tell me more about your hotel in Bolivia. How did you operate it?
Oh, we operated on the American and European plan, Don. We really ran the hotel on the American plan, but the guests paid off on the European plan.
Are the Bolivians easy to cater to, Bill?
Not exactly, Don. A guest in the hotel complained to me one day. He said, Senor Fields, the towels in my room are not large enough to dry your face on.
Well, what did you say, Bill?
I said, very well, we'll send you less water. Why did I was trying to accommodate them, Don?
Well, did that satisfy him, Bill?
No, he was always complaining. One day he said the swimming pool was so dirty you couldn't swim in it. I said, what do you think those frogs are doing, treading water? There's two windows in my room and only one screen. And the flies are coming in the other window.
Say, do you know, Mr. Fields, you know how to get rid of that red nose of yours?
Yeah, drink until it turns blue.
Go ahead, Bill. The flies were coming in the window without a screen in it.
Yeah, I said, well, take the screen out of the window that they're not coming in and put the screen in the window that they are coming in. Very stupid, some of those fellows.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill.
Yeah. I love Bolivia. How is that, Don?
Nothing, Bill. Just another door slamming.
Lock those doors, will you? Same fella fell asleep one day, Don. The flies crawled over his nose. One great big green bottle fly flew in the window, sit down on the end of his proboscis and bit him.
Yeah, well, what did he do then, Bill?
I put his hand up over his face, brushed his nose, and said, just for that, you all get off. You're right.
Wasn't that the hotel you ran right next to a bowling alley?
Yes, it was, yeah. Charles, but it was so quiet you couldn't hear a pin drop.
He's crazy.
Yeah, you're full of ticks. Huh? Charles, how would you like me to split you three ways into a tripod? Now, my brother.
Your brother? I didn't know we were talking about your brother, Bill.
Well, we will be from now on. I love Bolivia. All right, keep that door shut.
Go ahead, Bill.
One day, going out the rear of the hotel, Don, to milk the elk.
Milk the elk?
Used to keep an elk there, Don. Cow's eggs boiled in elk's milk, smothered with Bolivian onions, is one of the rare delicacies of Bolivia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go on, Bill, go on.
On the way to milk the elk behind the hotel, I saw Chief Okeechobee of the Appalachia Yakola tribe.
That's quite a long name,
that
Bill.
That was a tough one, too. Just nicknamed, Don. Chief says, how, pale face, all but the nose. Funny face. Quite a kidder. I said, and how, Okeechobee? The squaw was sitting under a tree feeding her papoose. She fell asleep and the baby started to cry. Rattlesnake approved.
Oh, rattlesnakes are horrible, Bill.
Oh, no, not Bolivian rattlesnakes, Don. They're full of intellect and the milk of humankind.
Is that so, Bill?
Yeah, the rattlesnake shook its rattles and used the young papoose to prevent it from crying and waking its mother. The snake even tuck its tail in the baby's mouth so the baby could use it as a pacifier. Get it?
Is that a true story, Bill?
I beg your pardon, Don.
I said, is that a true story?
If it isn't, I hope Charles breaks his leg. Both of them.
Oh, Bill, but you forgot to tell me about your brother.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Don. I inherit some of my absent-mindedness from him.
Well, what was this brother's name, Bill?
Oh, I'd answer any name, Don, and stand without hitching. Lost his mind from playing Marmalade Peg.
Well, did he ever get it back again?
Oh, yeah, lost his mind. He forgot to play Marmalade Peg and got his mind back again. But he's quite a student, Don.
Well, what did he study, Bill?
Oh, at the graduation exercises, the dean called my brother...
Dizzy Dean, I know.
No, Charles, Carl Hubble.
Oh.
He said, wipe the gum out of your ears, will you? Dizzy Dean called my brother out.
Out where, Bill?
He called him out at second base. What am I talking about?
You're talking about your brother, Bill.
Oh, thanks very much, Don. The dean said to my brother Hamilton...
Oh, his name is Hamilton, is it?
The dean said, Hamilton, you're now a full-fledged doctor.
Boy, I bet your brother was proud of that, huh?
No, Don, he wanted to be a lawyer. The Dizzy Dean said, but my son, you have just completed 4 years in medical college.
So what did your brother say to that, Bill?
He said, I came here to be a lawyer and I'll stay here until I am one. It was all mixed up, Don. He had Marmalade Peg on the brain.
Did he ever pass the bar?
That was his trouble. He never did. Why, to cut a man's appendix out once. After the operation, the patient said, you forgot to cut out my appendix.
So what did your brother say, Bill?
Says, what do you think this is in the jar? The patient says, look at him yourself.
Did your brother look at him?
He did. He said, great heavens, I've removed my own appendix.
That's crazy. Terrible, Bill.
I have a brother. Well, yeah, Chad. He was pleading a case once, and he was so absent-minded, he saw it off the judge's leg. The jury laughed immoderately. No response from
Boy,
the
he certainly was absent-minded.
Yes, and he took after my cousin Penelope in that respect.
Well, you never told me about your cousin Penelope. Was she pretty, Bill?
Oh, her face was so wrinkled, she looked like 7 miles of bad road. She had so many gold teeth, Don, she used to have to sleep with her head in a safe. Died in Bolivia.
Oh, Bill, it must be hard to lose a relative.
It's almost impossible.
Bill, tell me, whatever made you leave Bolivia?
I don't know, Don. I haven't found out to this day. I went to the governor's ball at Paz, Bolivia one night. I woke up in the hospital next morning in Cucamonga, California.
Well, what happened, Bill?
I threw the covers off my pad and reached for the bell. The nurse came in and said, you've broken all court cross-country records between here and Bolivia. And you're the only man alive who ever jumped clear across the Panama Canal. Says, whatever made you try to kiss the governor of Bolivia's wife?
Oh, well, that was a silly thing to do, Bill. Whatever made you do it?
I don't know, Don. Must have been something I drank.
Yeah. How far is Bolivia from Cucamonga, Mr. Field?
Just one night's run, John.
Can I stay at your hotel, Mr. Field?
Yes, you can stand in the corner. I'll drive spikes in your head, and you can be the official hat rack.
Now, Bill, don't pick on Charlie that way.
Oh, he can't hurt me, Mr. Amici. I belong to the CIO.
CIO, eh? Can't injure oaks.
No.
Come, Charles, let me take you for a little walk.
Where are we going, Mr. Field?
What do you care? You're not coming back. I love Bolivia. I love Bolivia. I forgot the words to say.
He loves Bolivia. So thank you, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and thank you very much, W.C. Field.
Well, here we are, back again.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The meeting is called to order.
Well, you sound very businesslike, Charlie.
I am, and definitely, too. The members of the September Sales Committee will answer the roll call. Don Amici?
Present, Sir Charles.
Carlton Cadell?
Accounted for, Chairman McCarthy.
I hate to call his next name, but if I must, I must. W.C. Fields.
I couldn't come today, Windwood.
Oh, I see. If he picks on me again, I'll commit suicide.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If the grubs don't get you, then the termites mine.
Yeah. As chairman in charge of the Chase and Sanborn's big September coffee sale...
Founder Allen Gadzooks. I am the originator of that, the creator of the big noise.
You mean the big nose. I have arranged to have a handsome picture of myself and Mr. Fields appear in the American Weekly next Sunday.
My profile on the same page with that... Hope head?
Yes. Why do you say that, Mr. Fields?
I'd like to fill you with whiskey, stuff a cork in your mouth, and let it age in the wood.
Oh. Well, anyhow, to spread the good news of Chase and Sanborn's big September sale of their swell coffee, remember September.
Yes, the September, October. Housewives, do not be surprised if any morning now... You will find me at your back door selling cheese and Sanborn coffee.
Remember, September.
Gentlemen, in the spirit of this occasion, it behooves me to call to the attention of every woman who looks for special sales. The big September sale on Chase and Sanborn coffee.
This coming week and all the rest of this month, every housewife in the United States and Canada should take advantage of the big September sale on Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. The superb coffee you can be sure is fresh. Remember, this fine blend is guaranteed fresh by a unique dating and delivery system. Every bag is rushed fresh to your grocer with a delivery date plainly marked on it to protect you from staleness. Stale coffee is bad for you. That's why we date our coffee. You can't get headaches, you can't get upset stomach, you can't get nerves from this perfectly fresh dated coffee. Start now to protect yourself and your family from stale, rancid-tasting coffee by drinking dated coffee. With freshness guaranteed by our dating and delivery system, we have been able to do away with all high-priced containers. So you are already saving money on dated coffee in the economical paper bag. And now, during our entire September sale, your grocer is authorized to offer you dated coffee at special reduced prices. Don't miss these extra savings during September. The next time you buy coffee, order a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. The coffee you know is fresh.
Wagner's opera, Tannhäuser, Nelson Eddy brings us one of the most beloved of all operatic arias, the song which Wolfram sings as he stands alone in the twilight and prays to the evening star. Nelson Eddy singing the beautiful song to the evening star.
Aus dem Tau.
job, Nelson. Thanks a million. And since all things must come to an end, I'm saying goodbye now for all of us. For our guest, Miss Ida Lupino, and for our regular company, Nelson Eddy, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. And may I say to all of you who have listened to this broadcast that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Such purchases are the finest way of telling us that you enjoy our show. But before we leave you, Robert Armbruster would like to say a musical farewell with his version of the minuet in G.
Artists and models, and the big show from Head Over Heels. This is Carlton Cadell speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.